Christopher Nolan's The Odyssey is in deep, deep trouble. Ratio after ratio for every single trailer, dislikes flooding in from the marketplace, and now Hollywood is circling the wagons, and they're dragging down anybody who dares criticize what Christopher Nolan is cooking up. Today, we'll tell you why that's a terrible mistake and why it will bite badly Hollywood right in the keister. It's a fantastic day, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for coming our way. An attitude of gratitude every time you decide to click one of these videos right here on the Pro Channel, where our job is to explain entertainment and drag Hollyweird back to the mainstream middle, the sensible center, where money is made. As we go into the explanation for what they're doing, the destruction of yet another story, folks, all we ask is that you click that like button, and we'll start talking, we'll start yapping right now. It's full-on defense time of The Odyssey, and they are ripping into the critics. Fox News is reporting on this one from Outkick. More Hollywood hypocrisy. Variety demonizes critics of Christopher Nolan's casting in The Odyssey. Variety applauds authenticity and representation in remake of Moana while attacking Elon Musk for Odyssey critiques. Ian Miller writing this one. And folks, don't go anywhere because the memes that are coming out of this are amazing, even better than this Bison, who, by the way, the Bison, come on, stop throwing people around. It's not nice. Says Hollywood and its media partners may have abandoned any pretense of creativity, originality, or intelligent filmmaking, but at least it hasn't given up on hypocrisy. Take, for example, the brilliance of Variety, a publication dedicated to entertainment, industry news, and coverage. Variety is, like most companies associated with the film business, openly and proudly left-wing. As such, anytime those on the right are even tangentially associated with the right, notice or say something about a movie or entertainment property, Variety leaps in to defend their political party. So, on the one hand, it says there's Moana, a fictional story based in mythology set in the Pacific Islands. The original 2016 animated film was widely enjoyed, critically, and commercially successful. Okay, good deal. As part of their promotional efforts designed to help the film succeed, Variety posted a link to their story on X saying, Moana creatives on working closely to honor Polynesian culture and traditions and why representation matters in a live-action film, which would not, folks, make, I think, for a great book title. It's a little wordy, I think. But anyway, they wanted everybody to know that representation really, really matters for Moana. Even this degree down here, it says, quote, aspects such as traditional Maori tribal tattoos, known as ta'moko, the rich expression of history through dance and generations of Polynesian traditions, are the beating heart of Thomas Kail's adaptation. That left the film's cast and creatives feeling a sense of pride at seeing their culture represented on screen. Goes on to talk about just how important it is to represent. Okay, go Moana, eh? And then, The Odyssey. It says, that's great. The film is based on those cultures and their mythologies and traditions, so getting the details right is admirable. Except, and here's where the modern Hollywood tradition of hypocrisy comes into play, this same exact media outlet had the polar opposite reaction to critics of Christopher Nolan's upcoming release of The Odyssey. It goes on to talk about how there are no Greek actors of note in this film. It talks about Elliot Page as a 5'1" tall trans actor playing a Greek soldier. Kenyan Mexican actress Lupita Nyong'o as Helen of Troy. Zendaya Zendaya is Athena, a Greek goddess. Other leads in the film include Matt Damon and Tom Holland, who have no Greek ancestry. In fact, it says not one of the main actors or actresses are Greek. There's modern language like dad used in the trailer, and the armor and ships depicted are not representative of the time with the Odyssey when it was written. Now, you know, it's been said that Christopher Nolan can do whatever he wants to do with his interpretation of the Odyssey, and that's probably true. The problem is Hollywood and the sycophants that drive this industry are determined to sick their dogs on anybody who dares notice the hypocrisy. You can see Variety says why Elon Musk and his troll army's attacks aren't just silly, but wildly inaccurate. And as I said, this has led to some of the greatest memes of all time. Because, you know, when you need to get your point across, nothing does it like this. Take a look, folks. Wilt Chamberlain, a Christopher Nolan film starring Peter Dinklage as Wilt Chamberlain. I mean, just look at that. We can do this, right? Paul, this will work. You think this will work? Will they go for this?
No.
What about Kung Ji starring, well,
I'm all for this.
Is it Samuel L. Jackson?
It is Samuel L. Jackson. Kung Ji, Emperor, the Untold Story.
I can dig it. Yes.
So this only works one way. This is why the memes are so effective, is because this only works in one direction. It never goes in the other direction. Paul, I don't necessarily, you know, I mean, cast who you want to cast, but it seems like the market, given the ratios, the dislikes that are happening right now, it seems to me that the market is speaking and the market is saying, you know, you're all about representation, all the other examples, and this example you're not. And we got a problem with that. What do you think about it?
Well, I divide it a little bit differently in terms of people who are complaining about what we've been commenting on prior to the release of the movie, is that we're not judging the movie based on, well, let me rephrase that. We haven't seen it, so we can't review the movie. Our opinions about the movie are going to be unique to that experience. But it is disingenuous for people to get mad at us for looking at the material that the gang have offered to us up to this point and being underwhelmed. That is completely legit. When we see something like this, are we not allowed to say, you know, have some doubts about what the final product is going to be? When we see one trailer after another that is this brown sandy mess that we can barely see through, are we allowed to say, you know what, we can't really see what's going on, this doesn't look so good, should we be pillared for making those observations based on what you have given us? This is not our fault, the fact that you have not given us anything to be excited about. And with regards to, depending on your view of the casting, just the opposite. Now, one interesting thing is that during one of the football games, I saw some kind of 30-second teaser trailer that looked like it was some kind, it turned the Odyssey into an adventure movie with like every single sword battle, every single, you know, ship thing, water, you know, lashing the masts. And I went, okay, where was this little trailer? Did anyone see that one? The adventure, the 30-second adventure trailer?
I didn't see it.
No.
It was unlike any of the other ones. I went, okay, this looks like a panic. Because probably right. You weren't watching football.
Well, no. The panic is well-earned because...
I think it is.
Paul, I'm a pragmatist here, you know, and we talk about the mainstream middle, the sensible center, that's where the money is made. And when I see that you've got 81,000 likes to 766,000 dislikes. And when I realize that I have never seen a movie be ratioed over and over and it perform well, I've never seen that happen. This can be the exception. But, you know, I look at this and I say, somewhere, somebody failed. Now, they can fight about that. They can get mad about that. But that doesn't change the fact that you failed in the marketing of this somehow, some way.
Correct.
And maybe you can't fix it. Maybe the substance of the product itself is offensive to the market. Whatever. But somewhere something has gone wrong, and now they're just angry. It's a temper tantrum about the market. But they can call us irrelevant. They can be mad about it, but it's okay. This is just these are easy numbers. You have a 10-to-1 dislike to positive, and that's a huge issue for them.
And that's for the trailer,
right? But not, it's been trailer. It's been repeated, like yeah. Trailer after trailer. This happens over and over. Every time it releases, it's mostly negative.
Yeah, and the trailers have been generally very introspective and soft. And I think that was the plan. And they thought that we were going to be looking inside of Chris Nolan's massive brain and be completely enthralled by the scope of what he's showing us. And basically we're going, no. So independent of all those other things, such as we're concerned about the dialogue, we're concerned about the source material, we're concerned like that. Okay. Yeah, really?
Do you think the dialogue, though, is that just a straw man? Is that they've invented a controversy that nobody was talking about in order to have something to fight back against that's easier?
I can only tell you once I see the movie.
Yeah, that's and same here. I'm going to be very fair about it. I'm going to be doing a review Thursday night out of the theater. I'm sure you'll be doing a review as well. And I'll be fair about it. It may surprise me. It may shock me. And I'll say so. It doesn't do me any good to come out and lie about it because other people are going to see it and they're going to make their own determination. But at least in the lead up to this, this has been atrociously handled and there's just no way around that. So,
yeah, well, it doesn't have the scope of a Ben-Hur, although that's an oldie, old style movie, but that's one of my favorite movies. It's a spectacular story.
Sure. And,
the religious element in it is brilliantly done. And I'm just not, I mean, again, you know, maybe this is a movie that cannot be subdivided into these kinds of, you know, bite-sized components. But like I said, that 1 30-second, all fighting, all dancing trailer, I went, okay, where did this come from? Well, someone panicked and said, mm-hmm. hey, someone needs to re-edit and put every single fight scene into 30 seconds.
Well, Andy, I know you're excited. You and I have talked about this.
Excited.
Andy is very excited because he found out that Christopher Nolan has co-written a hip-hop rap with Travis Scott that will be in the Odyssey. And so Andy is very excited about that. Andy, talk to us about what that means to you to have representation of hip-hop in the Odyssey, but no Greek people. It truly is inclusive.
I see that Christopher Nolan went painstakingly above and beyond to make sure Dunkirk was authentically filmed.
Yeah.
And
it's a fantastic film, by the way.
Because he's one of those, like, you know, old school British guys that, you know, actually descended from English people. And, but it doesn't matter when this stuff always goes one way. And you can't be a hypocrite about it. Like, look, I would love to see, as much of a fan I am of Yul Brynner and Charlton Heston, I would like to see something like maybe a Ten Commandments that looks more authentic, like, Middle Eastern people playing those parts. But you can't say that it's wrong. Like John Leguizamo, for example, like no one else is allowed to play an Hispanic character, but he's allowed to play, you know, whatever roles he's allowed to get. No one's allowed to portray anything about any other culture that's not authentic. I mean, but you see it now with there's a voice actor who was very upset. He signed the whole thing, making sure that, like, you're supposed to be representative of that character. But now he's upset that he's only getting parts for Asian characters. Well, he's Asian. That's what you wanted. But it's like, no, I just wanted the rules that benefit me, not that benefit or don't that punish me for this. And I think that's what everyone is really getting upset about this. If you were to take, I mean, years ago, you had that Romeo and Juliet with Leonardo DiCaprio, and they kind of set it in like modern Los Angeles or whatever. All right, you want to do that? Like, these stories have been like redefined, retold, and put in different scenarios. Same story, but change things up according to the era and without the same names per se. But when you're trying to make something that's supposed to look authentic, especially when you have other examples, like, yeah, Troy had its issues, but dude, you got Brad Pitt, like, you know, who really worked out hard and trained hard and did all that. And he has that scene where he just goes and stabs the big, gigantic dude. And he has this epic fight scene with Eric Bana. And they both trained really hard. And then we get, like, the Elliot Page boxing scene.
Oh,
fighting the little short guy with pool noodles. Now, look. I want to be nice about this because I'm generally a nice guy, unless you ask my wife. But you're 5 foot tall and
4'8".
You're biologically a woman that doesn't have the bone structure, the musculature. You're going to last about, I don't know, 3 seconds on a battlefield, like, and you're just like knocked away. And it's not convincing. It's not convincing. You're right. And it's some of these things are jarring because people inherently understand things. There's stuff that you pick up just because you're a human being, you live in the real world. And when things stand out like this, if you were to make a version of the Odyssey, but you change the names of the city states and whatnot, and you set this thing maybe in sub-Saharan Africa where it was a village being attacked, blah, blah, and all that. And you want to cast Lupita Nyong'o, fine. Personally, I think she's a pretty lady, but Helena Troy, she's not Helena Troy. She doesn't match the description that Homer gave us. And then she comes out and doesn't do any favors to this thing with, like, you know, mouthing off about, like, well, why didn't Homer put more women on screen? Well, let's see, genius. There was no screen back then. It was a play. It was a poem that was written and people made plays of later. And you're trying to judge this by modern standards, your modern standards. If this had happened at any other time, it might not have been as big of a deal. But I think right now everybody is just so fed up with this endless repetition of the same narrative being shoved down your throat. And I think a lot of this is done for Oscar buzz, because he ticked all the boxes that he needs to make sure that he qualifies for an Oscar.
You know what's a fascinating thing about this? The director of Moana is Thomas Kail, Tommy Kail, as he's been referred to in all of the interviews for his first big Broadway production. He was the guy in charge of Hamilton with Lin-Manuel Miranda. And not that I care at all that it's like one white person in the entire cast of Hamilton, but it's not exactly the poster child for representation either.
I think Hollywood has a real problem with figuring out what diversity means. Lauren, when diversity means that you don't have a single person from the geographic region that you're representing, what they're essentially attempting to do is they're attempting to have some sort of percentage of people groups that they don't feel as well represented maybe in like Southern California. But that doesn't work when you're going to places like, you know, ancient Greece. I mean, that just doesn't work. You know, well, we got to have this type of person. We can have this type of person. Excuse me. Do we have anybody from Uruguay on this movie? Get the Uruguayans. It's like, this is just it's just a sham. And Lorna, they may be chasing awards, but the issue here is now they're attacking the folks who are just pointing this out. And what I would recommend to them, and I don't know what you'll say about this, but I think they're reaching, what would we call the giga Barbara Streisand effect, because when you poke your finger in the eye of the 10 to 1, right? When we look at that ratio where it's 10 to 1, say, they're not happy, they're not pleased with this. When you go after them and you attack them, good luck with that. Good luck with saying, oh, the 766,000, that's Elon's troll army. Because that's how you get into Last Jedi territory. That's where you get into the point where the audience actually says, screw you, I won't watch it, I won't tune into it streaming. You've gone too far now. You've actually made me angry for pointing out the obvious.
I think the issue is they're engaging disingenuously. It's like, I tend to have the opinion that I don't care if you do race swaps generally, because we have actors of different nationalities play characters of different nationalities all the time. And I think that a masterful performance can elevate a part. But in this case, one, you have a number of actors who apparently were not familiar with the source material to begin with. A director is allowed to have his interpretation, but we're also allowed to make a decision about what we're interested in seeing. So Christopher Nolan can come out and say, all of this is irrelevant because nobody has seen the movie. Fine. Many people are not going to see the movie because you have turned us off. You're not entitled to our cash. You're not entitled to have us purchase a ticket. You actually have to sell us on this thing. And you apparently have no interest in doing so because the audience has told you, back up for a minute, explain to me why you're doing this. And they don't have a coherent answer for it other than that, well, you know, here's an example. Christopher Nolan saying, we didn't want to have a traditional orchestral score because they didn't have an orchestra back in ancient Greece. So I decided we wanted to have the soundtrack done by gongs. And also, for authenticity's sake, we're going to have a bard played by a rapper. And we're going to have a rap song in the end credits because that's the nearest thing I can think of that would come to a bard in ancient Greek times. This isn't even congruent with itself. And that's part of the problem. You have to sell this movie to us. You have not done so. I'm now not interested in your movie, even though normally I would be perfectly willing to give you a chance. You've insulted us, and that's why the movie is not going to do well. All you had to do was sell the movie. But you think that if you present these magic signals and you say these special words, it presents a shield. That doesn't work anymore. The audience is done with it. You need to entertain us. That's your only job.
I actually think it's an anti-shield. I think it actually is worse than not being effective.
I also think the only way to fight a Giga Barbra Streisand is with Mecha Barbra Streisand.
I do want to make one additional point. There is a part of me that is morbidly curious. He keeps saying that we haven't seen the movie, so we can't judge it. I asked this question, I think, on the M4 Empire the other night. Do we think that Christopher Nolan is pulling a Joaquin Phoenix here? Do we think that he's actually just playing this part all through the thing to reveal the hypocrisy of Hollywood? Is he making an anti-movie? And then there's another part of me that wonders, okay, what if the last scene of the movie is us going to a high school English class where somebody is badly trying to explain the Odyssey and everybody's looking puzzled, and then somebody turns to the camera and says, read a book! You know, if they did something like that, all right, maybe you've made a point, but if you haven't, this thing's going to get buried.
Well, you've made it to the end of the video, and that means you are a true pal of Pro. Thank you so much for watching the entire thing, ladies and gentlemen. And we ask that you consider clicking that like button, drop a comment down below, let us know your thoughts. And remember, folks, we've got more content yet on the way. The drive-bys can't handle what we have to say, but we never stop, not for a minute, because we want to win it for you. Until the next time, keep learning, keep growing, and as always, keep having fun.